liking is a no-no. She's all I'm thinking of. I've got some passionate reason. Yes, I have now. Sexy, like a fool, I broke her heart in two. So didn't mean to do it now. So stop for me to run it and get your hand. I just want to see her, just want to see her, with a pen to the melon. Does it matter? I've got to sell it. I just see her, and oh, I know it grieves her.
Trying to get to the other side of town. Okay. Welcome to another exciting episode of Soul Town, the Sound of Music. And we are talking about soul music, music that was recorded and released in what the show considered to be the soul music era, which was be from like the late 50s to the late 80s. And that period of time right in there, I mean, we had some great hits in that era. And some of the ones that I'm not going to even play, I haven't got on the internet. But these are hits that will live forever. I mean, this was probably the greatest era in music ever. I know it was commercially, financially, but I don't know what other way, you know, may look at it from another aspect or whatever, but it was a commercialized era and it generated quite a bit of capital. And just to play one of the hits out of that era that generated a lot of capital. We're going to let you hear another group. And the first act was Jay Blackfoot, formerly one of the Soul Children, which was created by Isaac Hayes and David Porter in the day. And had some great records, some great hits. Billboard charters, you know, million sellers. But that was some great songs. But here's another group out of the soul music era that was not, I mean, it was, they were so, soul music beginning, I mean, but pop music and everything. I mean, they were international pop number one, best group of the year several times by Billboard magazine. But they highlighted the soul music era. Here's with Maurice White, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Graduate of Booker T. Washington High School, Memphis, Tennessee. Here we go. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, the elements of the universe, earth, wind, and fire. Keep your head to the sky. Great song with a positive message.
Of Atlantis was an island which lay before the great.
And sound like some extraterrestrial situation there. I don't know what's going on with that. But that is something that we definitely want to keep looking at, the great artists that existed in that era. They were cutting hits after hit. And, you know, we owe them a lot because they kept it alive. They kept it open to right now, especially these gentlemen and people who are making millions and millions of dollars. These people were the ones that kept the doors open. And I guess we at least owe them that much to say, hey, thank you for keeping the door open. Because otherwise, I don't know if we could have got in. It was hard, very hard. But with the great material and the great hits that they were generating during that period of time, the door swung wide open. I mean, you had the Al Greens and the Michael Jacksons and the Temptations and the Stevie Wonders and Quincy Jones and all these guys, Ray Charles. I mean, these were some great times in the music industry. And you just talk to some of these guys that were working in the industry at that time. Oh, man, you talk about those times, those days, the eyes just light up, but you know that, you know, some of the reasons why their eyes are lighting up is because they were in an era. And it was a fun era to be in. It was a very fun era. And, you know, we just want to get some more good music coming out, you know, and keep the music coming. Keep it coming, because that's the only way it's going to stay alive. And there are many hits out there, many hits. And you know, we can talk about artists forever. You know, we just keep playing them, and you say, okay, well, that was a hit, okay. That was a million seller, you know, that was a million seller, platinum, or whatever. But there were quite a few. Here's one right here from Motown. Mr. Lionel Richie.
Try. always know that love will find a way. Is it hard, this life you're living? Does the world seem so unkind? Don't you worry, love will find a way. Some say we've lost our way. Some say the world has gone astray. But if you know where you're going, there's nothing you can't do. 'Cause problems will come and they will leave you. The world will try to deceive you, but the truth will always be in your soul.
Sound of soul music from Motown. Lionel Richie, Love Will Find a Way. Tuskegee, Alabama. Graduate of Tuskegee Institute, Tuskegee University in Tuskegee, Alabama. Great vocalist, great writer. Lionel Richie, formerly with the Commodores. Here's another great act that we're going to look at right now out of the soul music era, who turned out to be a great producer and writer also, but he's a great vocalist. Mr. Luther Vandross.
Love has truly been
Vandross, so amazing. That's one of the biggest hits ever, financially, commercially, sales wise. But you know, that was just one of the hits coming out of the soul music era. Okay, we want to let everybody know where they can find the book and Excursion in Soul, which covers the entire soul music era, kind of can give you insights into various things that were going on in the soul music era. Things with, you know, I mean, like soul music era, you know, you got New Edition, you got the Jackson 5, you got Al Green, you got the Doobie Brothers, Sam and Dave, Isaac Hayes. I mean, you got a lot of people that were involved in that era. Just, you know, just music was everything all the way across at that time. But hopefully we'll get to a point where things will get better. But you can find the book An Excursion in Soul, Amazon.com or on Kindle, for you iPhones or whatever, but it is available. Maybe if you go to Kindle, I'm not sure if it's still available like that, but you could get it free. Say you want to rent it or whatever, or not rent it, but you want to borrow it, you can get it free. I'm not sure if it's still available like that, but I would definitely go and check it out. An Excursion in Soul by Reginald Jenkins. And I'm Reggie Jenkins, and we're going to play a little Michael Jackson for you, you know, and he had a negative day that day he wrote this song, but things are going to get better. He's saying they don't care, but I think things are going to get better. Michael Jackson, king of pop. Mike, I don't think it's quite that bad, so it's going to get better. They'll start caring. Okay, we're going to play a speech that was given during the soul music era. At pretty much close to the beginning, more closer to the beginning than the end of the soul music era, by Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was something that I think the whole country, the whole world kind of bought into. And hopefully we'll keep biting into it.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hoped that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. That is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must be able to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
That was Dr. Martin Luther King, right out of the soul music era. Here's another great duet from the soul music era, but it's probably one of the greatest duets ever. Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway, "You Got a Friend."
Call and I'll be there.
That was Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack. You Got a Friend. Here's another act from Memphis, Tennessee. Samaris White. And he's talking about this month, September. To wish everybody love, peace, and soul. Here's a great artist from the soul music era, it's Shirley Brown.
My man ain't understand. Perfect man.